Continue our series that we've been on Sundays for quite a while now that we are titled Mission Possible. And you know, God has called us as the Church of Jesus Christ to really do the impossible and to go and to make disciples of everyone. And I'll tell you, if you think about it, if I was God, I wouldn't have chosen me. I wouldn't have chosen people to do it. If I was God, I would just say, be saved with a loud voice from heaven by believing on my Son, and it'd be done and we could wrap it all up. I mean, if I was God, now I'm not God. So that's not his plan. But if I was God, that's what I would think. But you know that he has empowered us to go and to preach the gospel? And he has taken what seems an impossible job and made it possible by imparting gifts into our lives. And so we've been looking at that over the past few weeks, looking at the Holy Spirit and the gifts that God has given us. And the gifts that God has given are specifically given to preach the gospel. And I believe, really, with all of my heart, the reason more believers in these last days don't see miracles, don't see signs and wonders, don't see these gifts operating in their lives is because we are not bold enough to go and to preach the gospel. I believe if you would just be bold enough, and we've looked at story after story over the past few weeks, if you would just be bold enough to go and to share Jesus with somebody, be a light where you are, as Pastor Lee just mentioned in that intro that we saw, to be a light where you're at, that God would bring you those gifts. If you believe him for it, you'll get them. And the Bible tells us that. And again, if you want to get caught up, you can listen to this series online. All of the MP3s are there along with the notes. But look what it says in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. How many things? All things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're really secret agents of the kingdom, if you will. And really, what God has called us to do is to preach the gospel, to make disciples. Our mission, should we accept it, is to make disciples, to die to ourselves, to take up our cross and follow. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. It's the only call that you see in the Bible. And sometimes I think we, even if we don't verbalize it, we think, well, you know, disciples, those were the 12 guys or 11 that followed Jesus around, because how many know one betrayed him? But we think, well, that's the disciples. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say there's disciples and then the rest of us Christians. It doesn't show that anywhere. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have answered the call to follow him. And what does that look like? That means that you die to yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. That means that you are a light shining in a dark place where you are. The place you work, the stores that you shop in, the restaurants that you frequent, the neighborhood that you live in, being a light in a dark place and allowing God to use you to preach the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And in Luke 14, 33, he said, so likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And we may not like to hear that in today's church because we think, well, what? God only wants 10% of my money and 10% of me. That's not true. If I told you that, I would be lying. God wants your life. He wants your whole life. He wants you to lay your life down so that he can impart those gifts into you so that you can go and take the light of the gospel of peace everywhere that you go. And he has empowered us with spiritual gifts. And we've been looking over the past few weeks at what spiritual gifts look like. And the Bible tells us, we're not going to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. You and I should desire them and not be ignorant of them. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are diversities of gifts in the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is what? The same God who works all in all. And so what you see here is you see Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a triune God in one. You see agreement, you see authority, you see power, and that is really God's desire for the church. And we'll see that this morning, that we being many are one, say one, in him. And you know that when you and I don't do our part, that we hurt the whole body? I mean, you know, we're Americans. We can get things done ourselves. We're independent. Living the American nightmare. American dream, I'm sorry. And we're independent. But you know what? We think sometimes if it's my decision, it's my life, I do what I want. You know that is not true? And I'm not trying to offend anybody this morning, but your life is not your own. The Bible says that Jesus paid for you. And if you're a disciple of Christ, he paid for you and bought you, and he expects you to do something with your life that is way beyond living just a comfortable life. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants to bless you beyond what you can possibly imagine, all right? He's got a plan for your life that is outrageous. In fact, it's out of this world. But you need to lay your life down and enter into a relationship as a disciple and die to yourself and take up your cross if you want that life. I think so much of the church, we're just busy doing our own thing, and we think that Christianity looks like the American dream, and we've been so deceived. And now that the American dream has been so fractured, I believe God is waking us up and saying, look, you're called to be disciples. You're called to lay your life down. He says he gives the manifestation of the Spirit so that we can profit with all. And we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 12:8. Again, we're not going to turn there, but it lays out the gifts of the Spirit there, and we broke them down into three categories of the manifestation gifts, which are the discerning gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Again, we've looked at these over the past few weeks. If you're interested in that, you can listen online. We looked at the declarative gifts, prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And we started last week to look at the dynamic gifts, which are a gift of faith or confidence. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now we walk by faith and not by sight, but God also gives us a gift of faith. And again, we looked at some of those examples last week. And then this morning, I want to look real briefly at the gift of miracles. And there are so many things we could look at, and we're not doing a series just on miracles. We're just showing each and every one of us that these gifts are available to us. And so how many know there's plenty of miracles in the Bible? I mean, you don't run short of any examples of miracles. But I wanted to pick one in particular that most of us are probably familiar with and take a look at what a miracle looks like. Because I believe that if you and I are believing God for a miracle, and we should be, that there are things in our life that really we can learn from Jesus' example how to expect a miracle. And let's read this together, if you will, with me this morning. John 6:5. It says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to, what, test him? For he himself knew what he would do. Then Philip answered him, he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. You know, isn't that what we think? I see this here, and really this is what we think. God will call us to do something, Steve, and we'll think, well, that's way beyond me. If I gave everything I had, it'd just be a little bit. But you know, that isn't the way God looks at it. And understand, Jesus starts with the same amount of substance here, or food, that the other disciples had. And they said, well, we couldn't do that. Even if we did this, it wouldn't be enough. But look what Jesus does. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What a great plan. We've got a can of sardines and a box of Triscuits. All right? I mean, really. Let's just bring it home. It says, but what are they among so many? Matter of fact, in Mark 6:37, the same story, he says, we'd have to work for years to provide. We'd have to work for months, rather, to provide for this many people. Verse 11, he says, Jesus took the loaves, and after he'd given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and his disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And so we see here that there's leftovers. With God, he can start with a little, he'll multiply it, and there'll be some left, all right? So I really believe that we can look at this, and to see a miracle, you and I, to believe God for miracles, first of all, we got to hear God's voice. Remember, Jesus said, you feed them. What would you do? But the Bible tells us that he already knew what he was going to do. So you and I have got to hear God's voice. Jesus knew what Father God wanted to do that day. The Bible says he just threw it out to the disciples because he wanted to test them. Why do you think we're always encouraging you to read your Bible? It'd just be good to start with bringing your Bible to church. Come on, somebody. I love you. Okay, and we make it easy because we put the scriptures up on the screen. But you know, your Bible, I was just talking with a young lady first service, and so much of the church doesn't realize how valuable their Bibles are. The Word of God. I mean, there are people in the world that would die, literally do, to get, it even did die, for one page, let alone a whole Bible. There are little groups of Christians around the world that people have found holding on to one chapter of Scripture, And that's all they've had for years, yet their church is walking in the miracles and the signs and the wonders that you and I think we want. And we've got multiple translations. I believe this, and I'm not trying to scold anyone. Don't misunderstand me. But if we don't read the Bible in today's technology, whose fault is that? I mean, there's so many ways, and we give you notes, and there's resources that we have out there at Pastor Duane's. But you and I have a responsibility, really, to read the Word of God, to hunger for the Word of God, to spend time alone in prayer with God, to start to hear His voice, so that when God shows up in the places you work, Stu, you can sit there and God will say, this is what I want you to do today. And you say, yes, sir. Now, I know you live this way. But that's what it is. It's not about, well, you can quote this scripture and this and that and the other thing, but you're learning to hear His voice, and when you hear His voice, He gives you directions and you follow them. And that's the first thing you got to do. If you want to live a life where you see miracles happen, you need to live this way. I'm reminded of something we just prayed for. How many remember when we had the Conqueror Strength Team here in May? We had a little outreach out here on the lawn, and I remember that they had the forecast rain. I mean, at one time it was almost 100%. Remember that, Nan? And I stood up here in this pulpit, and I said, we are going to pray that it doesn't rain because we are not getting a tent. Now, some people wouldn't say, they'd say, well, what if it does rain? Listen, don't what if it does rain. It's not going to rain. See, but they said it was going to rain. And we got closer, and then I saw one day, how many know, you know, not just in Michigan, but they predict the weather, and it's like, changes this day, that. And so it wasn't going to rain, then it was going to rain. I can remember just a day before, they said rain, and it was going to rain. We said, nope. And so we didn't order a tent, and you know what happened that day? Sunshine. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, it looked like rain in the morning, but it broke, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous, and you know what happened? We got a bunch of people saved that day, all right? And it was a great time. So you need to hear God's voice. See what the Word of God says. But then you've got to be willing to offer what you have. And I think many Christians stumble right there. We need to be willing to offer what we have. Say, God, I know that this may not be much, but I'm going to give it, and I'm going to expect that you're going to move in my life. I think so many Christians don't even give finances to the church because they think, well, what difference could I make? Do you know that God takes what we give? All right, listen. God takes what we give, He multiplies it, and then we can reach out and do way beyond what we could possibly imagine because we're partnering together. We're going to let that car drive away. Okay. Right. But not only are we to hear God's voice and be willing to offer what we have, but you and I have got to have faith to devise a plan, expecting God to move. I just use that example of the Conquerors. Hey, we set up our stage. We got our sound system. We had the Conquerors. And we did it, all right? But you see, Jesus here, He devised a plan. He's standing there with a box of crackers and a can of sardines. And He says, have them sit down in groups of 50s. I mean, no, that's a plan. He didn't have enough to feed them yet. But then you got to be thankful. Jesus gave thanks and multiplied. Listen, I believe if we'll live our lives this way, you and I will see miracles in our lives. You will see God provide. And I've shared from this pulpit things that Trish and I have seen over the years. And we could go on and on. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time just on miracles because we talk about it all the time. But listen, this is one of the gifts of the Spirit that God has given us, which is working of miracles. But you and I have got to live a certain way. And basically it is to follow Jesus, to lay our lives down, to expect the miraculous, to expect God to move. And you know what? When we live that way, not only does God meet needs, but He gives us more than enough. He gives us leftovers. Now I want to move a little bit into what we call motivational gifts of the Spirit, our third category here. And I want to just kind of go through these today, and then not next week because Lee is here next week, but the week after that, we'll start to get into a little bit of really what I believe the church is supposed to look like and how it makes a difference when you and I do what we're supposed to and how it makes a difference when we don't do what we're supposed to. Because so many times we think, well, I'm just one person, but let me tell you, you make a difference. You matter. If you're not meeting the need that God has called you to do in the gifting that God has made you, the way that He made you, then that need is not being met. It just isn't. Listen to what it says in Romans 12:4. For we, as many, or having many members, rather, in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Members of one another. See, the decisions that you and I make affect other people. They affect the body of Christ. That's why it's so important. I mean, yeah, we're part of the church universally. The body of Christ is universal. But we are part of a church. And if this is your church, Resurrection Life Church, then let's bring it home today to this church. If you're visiting from another church, then you apply it to your home church. But you and I make a difference where we are. And if we don't get plugged in, if we don't do what God has called us to do in the body, then the body suffers. All right? God needs you to be you. The body of Christ needs you. Verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with what? Liberality. God loves a cheerful giver. He says here, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Develop the gift that is in you. And really, the way you develop your gift is to get involved in the body of Christ. And sometimes I sound like a broken record, I know. Now, this is summer, and so we've taken a little break, but we still have two small groups that meet during the week. I mean, we have a Wednesday night service. We have a Bible study group that meets on Tuesday. We have a Bible study that meets on Thursday nights. And then we're going to have six total this fall that you can get involved in. You say, well, one of them doesn't live close to me. Well, then pray about starting one, and we'll help you. We will. We'll help you. Can make it easy. You can just invite some of your neighbors. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, now you're messing with me. Well, no, yeah. And they may never even come to this church, but there'll be an extension to this church because we're being the church. We're doing what we're supposed to do. You say, well, I don't even know if I have a gift to be a teacher or to prophesy or to minister. Well, this is how you find out. I mean, even getting involved in the church. We have altar ministers here. Maybe you talk to an altar minister. Nan, wave your hand. Nan's over that. You can talk to Nan. You can just call the church office. We'll help you. You may say, well, maybe I'll try children's church. And even though you may not be called long-term to children's church, do you know that we could help you develop a teaching gift in you? You could be back there with the children, and you could have an encouraging word for one of those children. God could give you a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We share from this pulpit how God just moves. If we will just trust him, God will help you. Sometimes we think, well, that's just children's church. Oh, my goodness, don't ever think that way. Sowing into those little kids. There's so many different things that you and I can do. You may know that you're called to teach, but maybe you don't see the application right now. Well, let's sit down and talk. Talk to me. I'd love to help you with that. We have a Bible school. We're just finishing up here. We got about 15 weeks to go, and we'll have some grad. And all those in Bible school said, amen. No, and so we'll get you in a Bible school. We'll get you in there, okay? Get you involved in that. Maybe you've done some teaching. Well, sit down with us. We'll help you with that. I mean, you know, you see me teaching. We have visiting teachers in. Jay and Nan have taught from the pulpit. Pastor Bob has been in the pulpit. There's others of you that God is developing and preparing for that. But you may be called just to teach. I will never forget. This is probably, I want to say 18 years ago. I had a Bible study that lasted about 6 months in a job that really it didn't work out the way I thought it would. We'll just leave it at that. And I've shared that story, so I'm not going to get into that story. But I can remember for 6 months, I had a Bible study with five guys every morning. 20 minutes. We'd get there 20 minutes, and we started at 7. And so we would get there at 6:35 or so. We'd sit down, and we would do a Bible study every morning. And I will never forget. I'm just serving God. I'm just having fun and part of the worship team, singing in the choir with Pastor Lee and playing guitar and doing whatever. Going to Bible school at night, just pursuing God, just the way I'm challenging you to. And God used me. And I remember sitting there, and the Lord spoke to my heart. Holy Spirit said, if you'll pastor these five guys faithfully, you'll pastor more. And I thought, wow, okay. I mean, you have to understand, I didn't grow up as a Christian. I didn't get saved until I was 31. And so when I heard all this stuff, I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Because the blinders came off. I think the Lord is waking up the church. It's time for us to take the blinders off and to realize that God has a gift and a call on each and every person's life, not just those who stand in this pulpit. You may never do more than just lead those five, but could you imagine if one of those five was a person that was going to reach hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or a million? We shared that story last week. You make a difference. But you know, if you don't do that part, if you don't reach out, then that part does not That need, rather, does not get met. Goes on, he says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. How many have ever heard people say, well, I'd go to the church if there weren't so many hypocrites? Well, then stop being one and get to church. That's what I say. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Do you know, if we lived our lives this week, this way, and we'll share on this in a couple of weeks, if we lived our lives according to this, you know, the most of the problems in the body of Christ relationally would be solved? If we would just give preference to one another, how many know? The problem with people is people. But you know, if we live this way and prefer one another and help bear one another's burdens, I mean, that's really what the Bible's talking about, that I'm going to believe the best in you and I'm going to take it on myself. And I'm going to say, you know what? I've had so many times, I mean, Trish could tell you this, those who are close to me, and let me tell you, I can offend people too, just like anybody. But I've had so many times where there's been an offense or a misunderstanding that I've just said, you know what? It didn't work that way, but you know, it is not worth it. How many times you heard it? And Trish was the same way. And I just go and I humble myself and say, yep, I take responsibility. How do we solve this? Because somebody has to. Somebody has to. Let it be you. Let it be you. And I'll tell you, the body of Christ would work a whole lot better. Now he goes in 1 Corinthians 12:27. He says, now you are the body. That's you. You are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And of course, he goes on there. And we're not going to read it this morning, but chapter 13, the great love chapter. Listen, we're not all going to do the same things at the same time. And there are certain ones that God will appoint to certain places. But if you and I would earnestly desire the best gifts and say, God, just use me, as we've been teaching in this series, God, just use me. Lord, use me to reach out and to be a light in a dark place. You know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healing, working of miracles, tongues, interpretations of tongues, a word of prophet. That stuff would just start to come as God gives it so that you can be enabled to be a minister of the gospel of grace. But we get so caught up in, well, I don't know what I do, or we think, well, you know, so-and-so, I've done this and that, and I deserve that. And doesn't pastor recognize me? And doesn't he think I should do that? Now, I thank God we don't have a whole lot of that in this church, but you know what? We can't help it because we're people. How many know? It's like I said to begin with, if I was God, I would not have been our choice, okay? I wouldn't have. But he did. We're imperfect, and it seems impossible, but he makes all things possible. And he'll show us an excellent way, and that's love. And over the next few weeks, as we get into this some more, we're going to learn what a difference you and I can make and what that means to be interactive in the body of Christ and what a difference you can make and what a difference you do make, I should say. In Ephesians 4, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, that's Jesus, he himself. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Fivefold ministry is given to equip you. All right, fivefold ministry, we'll say really pulpit ministry. Now, these offices don't necessarily have to work only in the pulpit. I mean, we have, I'm thinking right now, we'll just look at these for a moment. And we're not going to spend a bunch of time on all these. But apostle, what an apostle really just means one who sets things in order. That's really what it means. And so many times people say, well, that was Apostle Paul. Well, Paul was the apostle, but Jesus is the apostle of our faith. Set things in order, all right? I'm thinking of some of you may know Bernie Blaukamp. I believe Bernie Blaukamp is an apostle in the Resurrection Life Church organization. He helps organize. He helps things get together. He has a gift of administration, but really, he has an apostolic calling because he'll set things in order. When churches have problems, he goes and he helps. When pastors struggle, he goes and he will help and get a preaching team to come in while that pastor is restored. All right, so that is one of the functions of the apostle. Now, I believe J and N, have an apostolic and a prophetic call in their lives. All right, and they're helping us to set things in order here, but who knows what God's going to do through their lives, and we're excited about that. And you see, they'll help pray here, and we have many of you that are part of the prayer team, and that's just part of what we're doing. But see, there's offices, and God is starting to really put around us gifts of the prophet. I believe that we've got several of you, one that I know of for sure, but several of you in this church that have the gift or office of prophet, all right? And you'll see some of those in this pulpit. The gift of evangelism, or the gift of evangelists. Matter of fact, we've got a bunch of evangelists heading out to the Cherry Festival next Saturday and then on Thursday, July 4th, to help serve beer in the beer tent at the Cherry Festival. Somebody said, what? Yeah, evangelists like to get around people who don't know about Jesus. And that's not a ministry for everybody, but that's just one thing we try to do. Listen, we need to be a light where we are. The gift of evangelism is just, hey, I don't mind being around people that need to hear about Jesus. And you know what? Every one of us can evangelize, but I believe there's an office of the evangelist, and we have evangelists who preach in this pulpit, who help us to do outreach ministries, but we also are working in some relationships so that we can help to continue to train you to be an evangelist, all right, if that's a call that you've got. He says, till we all come, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, God's goal is to get us to the fullness of Christ. And he does that with the apostles, with the prophets, with the evangelists, with pastors, with teachers. But listen, everybody look at me. If you come and you hear a message like this, or if you go to Bible school, or maybe you get into a class that we've got, or you go to a small group or a Bible study, and you get information like this, and then you don't do anything with it, whose fault is that? Shh, it's awful quiet. But you know, so much of the body of Christ, again, we never do anything. I love Pastor Lee's heart. You'll love his book. You're going to love him next week. Because listen, the gifts that you give it, that you've been given, are very unique. And I can't say it enough, but you make a difference. The way God wants to use you makes a difference, not only in the life of this church, but in the life of those people that are around you. So God, I believe Holy Spirit speaking to you now. Perhaps you've even noticed that you, hey, I had a word of wisdom once. Is that what that was, or a word of knowledge? Or God gave me a picture of the future for something, you know, or whatever it might be. But I guarantee every one of you have had something working in your life where you're listening right now. You seek God and you'll be like, oh, that's what that was. Because God gives it. And the Bible says the gifts and the call of God are without repentance. He doesn't give us the Holy Spirit gifts and then just take them back because he feels like it. Listen, he gives those to us, but so many Christians aren't aware of it. And so we really never walk in the power and the authority. And so we have a church that's dysfunctional. We have a church that doesn't have unity. And so we have people that jump from this church to that church to this church to this church over to this church. And whoever, and here's what really has happened. What's happened is we become like church thrill seekers. We want more entertainment. And so we go to the church that has the best band, the best production, the best choir, the best whatever it is we like. Make sure the preacher doesn't preach too hard of sermons that cause me to want to get involved, because I'm not going to do that. I love you. I know that's not you. But so much of the body is like, and you know it's true because you just have to look. And you know, and it's kind of like, well, you know, the pastor, he just, Pastor so-and-so just, he ain't got what he used to have. Well, then pray for him. Go meet with him. Say, Pastor, how can I help you? Don't leave. I remember Jesus. There was a story. Jesus starts telling his disciples, you know, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. And they're kind of like, a bunch of them just start, he starts to implement really what's going to happen, how his body is going to be broken. And he starts to say, you know, my body is food. And my flesh is food. And my blood is drink. And if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have no part of me. And they're like, we're out of here. And they're like, you can read it. This is my paraphrase for time's sake. And they all, a bunch of them leave. Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, will you leave me also? Thank God they didn't. Jesus, in his greatest hour of trial, he said, couldn't you pray with me an hour? This is Jesus. How many know pastors need you? Not just this pastor, but pastors all over. But so many times we say, well, they got a better show down the street. Let's go to that one. And then I see people that say, well, you know what? We're all the body of Christ. I just preach. I'm going to come, or not preach, but I'm going to visit here and visit here. And this is what God's doing in my life. And I've seen people go years and years, and they just go from here to there. And this is what God's doing. And God's bringing all these amazing things, and they never give a dime to the gospel. Could you imagine being that person? I'm not, and I'm sure it's not you, but could you imagine being that person and standing before Jesus? And Jesus said, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, they didn't have a good show. Well, I was being led by the Lord, and the Lord's like, really? I think there's many of us think we're being led by the Spirit and we're led by our emotions, our flesh. Things that we desire, things that we like. But we take care of that in this church because I preach like this, so I make sure that none of that is the reason. That if you come here, it's because you want to be part of the body and you want to see God use you. And so we'll do things. I mean, we got something in the fall that we're really just gearing up to do for you. Just to challenge us as a church, we're going to have something we're going to call a 25-40 card, okay? And that's based on Matthew 25-40. Jesus said, that which you've done to the least of these, you've done also for me. And so we're going to have a little card that says 25-40, and it's got that scripture behind it. And then on the other side, it says Mission Mondays. And we'll give you a little rubber bracelet, you know, because we just like rubber bracelets, to remind you. And we'll call it Mission Mondays. And we're going to challenge you as a church every Monday to do, you know, how many have heard the term random acts of kindness? You ever hear that? We're just going to call it real acts of kindness, all right? We're just going to take a little twist on it. But we're going to challenge you every Monday. We're going to challenge you to reach out to somebody that you come in contact with. It could be someone that you know. It might be someone you don't know. Sometimes the people we don't know can be the most fun. I'm just telling you from experience, all right? Because you don't have to worry because you may never see them again, so it doesn't matter. No, I'm just teasing, all right? All right. But we're just going to challenge you and say, well, why Mondays? Well, we're going to say Mondays because if we just said every week, it'd be like Monday, we'd say, I'll do it tomorrow. Tuesday, we'd say, I'll do it tomorrow. Wednesday, before you know it, the week would go. No, it's every Monday. You will pray and ask God to show you who he wants you to minister to. You know, we already talked about going out and helping at the beer tent. We're kicking around some ideas to reach out in this community with a mobile canteen that we can go and help people that are, you know, homeless and things like that, and give them backpacks and give them a sandwich and some water and a cup of soup and some and coffee. And you may say, well, Pastor, how can I help with that? Give us a call. We're starting to put plans together. And there's so many ideas. I believe that there are ideas in you that you have been afraid to or just never thought anybody would want to hear. I want to hear, all right? Because God has gifts and ideas and dreams and things that he'll speak to you that I'll never hear if you don't speak them out. And finally, I want to give you one more scripture before we dismiss this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This is in the New Living Translation. He says that he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. Look at that. You and I help each other. You know that there are people. I was just talking to a good friend of mine, Larry. Hi, Larry. Good to see you. I love you, man. I've told a lot of you this, man. I love seeing you in church. Why? And you can't make every service. We know that. And it's summer, and you only get 2 or 3 weeks, so have fun. Right? But the thing is, you know that it encourages me to say, I'm praying for you, Pastor. It encourages me if someone to get on Facebook and say, Pastor, Trish will always be more beautiful than you, but I love you. It encourages me. But you know that when we all do our part, when we plug into ministry, when we just do, it could just be a little note. It could be a phone call. I love it. Trish, people buy Trish chocolate and owls and all kinds of things. I got Trish. I found this sign up. I was up at Mackinac the other day, and I found this sign. I know I said I was closing, but I am kind of. I saw this sign up here. It says owl or barn owl crossing. Trish loves owls, so I nailed that up in our front yard for her. But people buy her chocolate and owls, and people buy me really cool stuff that I'm not necessarily going to mention from the pulpit, but really fun stuff. And so, but I like that. That encourages me. Now, I'm not trying to get you to do things for me. Don't. Now, look, tomorrow, I don't want a bunch of phone calls. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is you can make an impact in my life. You can make an impact in someone else's life. You can make an impact in a child's life. You can make an impact in your neighbor's life. Listen, you're already making an impact anyway. So why don't you make it positive? Why don't you use it to preach the gospel? Because he says, when every part does its share, let's read on here, and then I'm going to have to let you go. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of what? Love. And over the next couple of weeks after Leah's here, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to learn that you and I, as the body of Christ, listen carefully, are to care for one another. The Bible teaches us to love one another, to host one another, to receive one another, to honor one another, to serve one another, to instruct one another. But you know, many times I think we can't instruct one another because we haven't taken the time we should to find the answer ourselves. But if you and I would develop our lives the way we've been talking about and really hunger and thirst for Christ and read the word and pray and get involved and start to help one another grow, you know what? We would be able to instruct each other. We'd be able to help each other grow. That there's parts that are missing when you and I don't do our part. We're supposed to forgive one another. Oh, that's an easy one, right? But you know what? It's essential. Motivating one another. Again, it motivates me just seeing you in church. Saying, hey, pastor, and getting encouraged. It motivates me seeing you read the word. It motivates me when I see you involved in ministry. It motivates me when you say, hey, I shared Jesus with somebody today. I'm like, oh, yeah. We're to build up and encourage one another, pray for each other, confess our sin to one another. And you're going to see as we go through all these things that if you don't plug into the body of Christ, these things don't take place. We gather once in a while and then we just go our own separate ways. We're to esteem one another. We're to teach one another, show kindness to one another. We're to weep and rejoice with one another. You know, there's good times and bad times. There's a song there, but I won't sing it. There's a song for everything. It's an old Led Zeppelin song for those of you that are old enough to remember that. But there's good times and bad times. So we don't quit on each other. We weep with each other. We rejoice with one another. We work through things together. We get involved because we are the bride of Christ, and this thing is for eternity. Better get used to each other because we're going to hang around a lot together. And then finally, we're going to talk about restoring one another. And Jesus gave us a plan on restoration. And you know, if we would live that way, you and I would have healthier relationships. And we would understand that, look, if we're going to have friendships for a lifetime, it could be challenging sometimes, but it's going to be worth it. When we work through things, when we live this way, when we do our part, when we get involved in the body of Christ, when we let our light shine, when we reach out to our neighbors, when we reach out to those people that we work with, when we get involved and we also help serve beer in a beer tent or whatever it is God calls you to do, we're going to make a difference and people's lives will be changed. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the gifts and the calling of God. Today, Father, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would take these words today and then challenge us and mold us and help us to become the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And there's two things I want to talk about with that. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. And so the only way that you and I can get to heaven is by receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. We can't earn it. We can't pay for it. We can't work our way to heaven. We cannot be good enough. It's impossible. The Bible tells us that over and over again. And so if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we want to pray for you. And what's going to happen is you're going to receive Jesus, and you're going to know that your security in heaven is real, that you're on your way to heaven. But he's also asking you to follow him. And so what you're saying is, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross daily, and follow you. I'm going to become a disciple. And Jesus, I want you to use my life for your glory. And I guarantee you, he's got a life that is awesome for you. We had several Wednesday night. We had a young man last service that prayed this prayer, and we'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you say, I served Jesus at one time, but man, I'm not where I need to be. And today I realize that I've got to get back into the body of Christ. We want to pray for you too. And I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift your hand. And the reason I do that is we have a packet of information. We believe in giving you knowledge. We believe in giving you what the Bible says so that you can grow. And so we ask you to lift your hand so we can just give you a packet. And then we want to pray with you. And this packet will tell you what it means to be a disciple. It'll tell you what it means to be born again. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. On the count of three, let me see your hand. One, two, three. Put it up. Quick. Put your hand up. Say, Pastor, pray for me. All right. All right. I see it. I see you, brother. Amen. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, go ahead and look this way. If you're a first-time guest with us,